Good afternoon, Acadiana, and welcome to Kane Radio's Chip Shots. I'm Teddy Sliman with you here in the air chair. Downtown New Iberia, 107.5 FM and 1240 AM. You tune in to a golf talk show. 367-1240 is our number. If you want to talk a little golf over the next hour, expect Boscora to come in shortly, and we'll duo. But for now, let's thank our sponsors. Let's begin with golfballs.com. We're in the middle of the spring. A lot of demonstrated days are going on out there at various golf courses. Shoot, why not go to right there in Lafayette? Golfballs.com. In Arnold Boulevard Shopping Center in Lafayette, and you can try out all the demonstrator golf clubs you want into their simulator there, and might want to purchase a set as well during this springtime. Golfballs.com, of course, they're noted for logoed golf balls that they do across the internet, across the world. But right here in our backyard in Lafayette, you can go out there and look at their equipment in their merchandise room and just about get anything you want in the realm of golf. Our other title sponsor, Coca-Cola Bottling Company of Lafayette, Mr. Lee Tadford, we thank him for sponsoring all the sports he does here at Kane Radio, and we appreciate their support of local radio. Coca-Cola of Lafayette, Mr. Lee Tadbert, appreciate you. And, of course, our local golf clubs, Eagle Ridge, Cane Row, Sugar Oaks, Bellevue, and also we throw in there Chaffalaya down there in Patterson. Why not give them some plugs? They're promoting that Twilight Scrambles every Thursday. It's a two-person team event. At 5:30 shotgun. I'm sure you have to register well before then. It's $40 for non-members and $30 for pass holders, and that includes your cart, green fee, range, prize money, and food as well. So go have a good time down the bayou at Atchafalaya. They got a tournament coming up this Saturday, May 20th. It's the Elvin Grove tournament. 45 players involved in that, so it's a private tournament. But also going on at Atchafalaya or coming up is the Pass Holder Championship, in other words, that club championship for the people who are members there. You have to be 17 years or older. It's June 25th and 26th, 9 o'clock shotgun start both days, $40 per player, and it's flighted by your handicap, and then there's a senior flight and a super senior flight. And they're going to pay gross and net prizes. Then at Eagle Ridge, they recently had last week the Pro-Am. Acadiana Pro-Am was held there, and another nice turnout thanks to tournament director Doug Beard. 117 players teed it up either on Tuesday or Thursday. First place went to Ricky Delcombe, J.C. Landry, Jimmy Daniels, and Brian Price. And they had to go to a scorecard playoff because they tied at plus five with the team of Ty Burdett. And Ty seems to win every time. He's the owner and operator of Bellevue in Franklin. Phil Molidos was on his team along with Don Sarkis and Robert Romero. Both the first and second place teams were plus five. First place went in $136, second place $100. Then finishing one shot out at third place was Boyd Booty's team along with David McWilliams, John Reed, and Mark Robichaud, and they won $57.50. And all those numbers are redeemable at golfballs.com. All Doug does is emails the results to golfballs.com, and they have it in their computer there. You go in and you pick up your prize, or you can do it over the internet and use some kind of code. I'm not sure. You're going to have to call them and find out if you're a winner and you don't want to go into that showroom. But you're missing out if you don't go in because you might find something you like there. And the low A player was Bobby Deloney, plus four. Low B player, Dr. Randy O'Brien, longtime, old-time player, plus four also. Low C player, Roy Poche, plus five. And low D player, Brett Price, plus five. I said Doug was doing a nice job with the Pro-Am running it. Well, he did a nice job on the golf course, too. His old stomping grounds, the old Tri-Parish golf course where Doug grew up. He had an 8-under par 63 in the Pro-Am, and congrats to Doug. He's still got it. The next Pro-Am is going to be at Cane Row as we go back to the beginning of the schedule. So Cane Row, Southern Oaks, Bellevue, and Sugar Oaks, and then Eagle Ridge again in that order. And Eagle Ridge, we since we're talking about them, their hole-in-one pool is up to 55 golfers. $5 if you're a member there. You make a hole-in-one, you win the whole prize. So that's not hard to add up, 5 times 55, and that's all yours. And Cane Row, God, the golf course is in good shape. Got the chance to play Friday with Father Mark Marlin. We had a nice time. 3-hour round of golf Friday morning on a beautiful golf course, and it was not hot yet. It was still cool. And so they're having twilight rates, Tuesday through Thursday, $30 after 2 o'clock. Senior rate, if you're 60 years or older, on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, $38.46. That's including your tax and all. And then their Wednesday rate after 12 p.m., which is just afternoon, you know, so why not $30? Wow. Super price there, but why not be a member and you can play all you want? You get 20% off soft goods, 10% off hard goods. $142 a month, their membership fee. You can book your tee times well in advance, which is a big asset right now since they're so busy, you can't get just any selected tee time or walk in off the street and expect to play. They've been that busy. They also chart your handicap for you with the LGA, Louisiana Golf Association handicap system. And they waive your MGA dues, their newly resurrected MGA with Raymond Bernard as their president. Here comes Mr. Boxcar. Ooh, he's got his hands full today. I don't know if Ryan Desimo is still doing a winter push, but you can go check him out if you have a group that wants to be a member there. And as Coach Brennan has alluded to this morning, there's a group. We're not going to say which course because it'd be improper, but they have a group that they're going to buy coming. 8 or so members that play together regularly might move over there. Ryan will make them a deal for sure. And then I've been perusing around that golf shop. They have UL merchandise, logoed merchandise all over the place. So if you're a Raging Cajun fan, go check it out. They were supposed to have an MGA three-man scramble this Saturday, but I don't think that happened. I think a bunch of the players, or at least 8 or 10 of them, went to Biloxi, Mississippi, and participated in a four-ball tournament at the Sunkist Golf Course in Biloxi. It was called the 1953. Let me turn on Boxcar's mic so we can have a little chatter about that. So they played Boxcar in the 1953. What do you think that was all about? Kevin didn't indicate.
I do not know. I mean,
The only thing that comes to mind, 1953, was that was the year Ben Hogan won the 3 legs of the Grand Slam and didn't compete in the 4th one because of travel.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. Four ball, 1953.
I'm going to do a little research right now.
Kevin played with Ryan Desimo. They shot 139 in the championship flight and didn't finish in the money. In the first flight, the team of Rhett Viator and Drake Hoffpower finished second with a score of 131. Then other players participating but not finishing was Guy Bonair, Paul Rayo, Nick Romero, and looks like Brock Lachelet. So they had a fun time, I'm sure. Coming up on Cane Row is the Bo Dewey, District Attorney Bo Dewey Golf Tournament. That's going to be May 23rd, Monday. It's an all-day affair. A lot of food on the golf course. Morning and evening shotgun starts. It's a four-man scramble, $125 per player. And then in the month of June, the second annual Liam McDuff Live Like Liam Golf Tournament's going to be June 25th. Entry fee is, well, they have morning round and afternoon round. The morning round is a more serious for serious golfers. 3-man scramble, the afternoon round, 4-man scramble, and 8 and 1:30 shotgun starts. And let me tell you, they got all kind of stuff going on throughout the entire day. Raffles, silent auctions, barbecue cook-off, wine pool, and then even a fun jump for the youngsters.
I'm looking at Sunkist Facebook page right now, and there's no indication of what the 1953 stands for. It's right underneath their logo, and it was presented by Harrah's Casino. And it was just a four ball. I mean, Friday they had practice round, and Saturday, chipping putting contest and a fish fry, and then Sunday, barbecue lunch after, you know. But, I mean, yeah, it doesn't really indicate the significance of, unless that tournament, you know, they've been having that four ball since 1953. I mean, you know,
yeah, wow.
I mean, it could be, huh? You know, I don't know. I mean, I played that little golf course one time before, a long, long, I mean, I'm 30 years ago, maybe. And before the casinos even hit, you know, Mississippi,
right.
I was we used to go every now and then to Biloxi, and that was one of the cheaper options. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, it's fun. I mean, it wasn't a great course, but they probably have
renovated it.
Yeah, because of the casino courses, I'm sure.
Oh, you know. Absolutely. So. All right, then at Cane Row, the Hole in One guys, Darrell Colletti and Mike Caffrey. Congratulations to them. Then Sugar Oaks. Sugar Oaks is doing great also. So here's that specials. 9 or 18 holes on Monday or Tuesday, only $22. And then this is my favorite, $31 on Wednesday, all day, as many holes as you can play. And like Boxcar said last week, probably with the scramble, Twilight Scramble that afternoon, a lot of players could take advantage of that.
Yeah, I may give it a little whirl this Wednesday. I'm contemplating it. I'm thinking about it. I didn't rejoin the MGA this year, so I'd have to do that to get my little discount. But I wanted to play yesterday, and then you know, as fate would have it, the rain, you know, hit over the weekend, and they got. I don't know. You know how it is over there, man. It seems like the rain clouds. You know, you drive for months on end, and you get a little rain. You want rain, but then when you get it, you know, and it comes a little too much. So my buddy, you know, my group, normal yeah. group played Saturday, mm-hmm. And it was 90 degrees, but then they got another shower Saturday night, and that was I was coming back from Alexandria Saturday night, and I ran into that rain on Highway 90. And sure enough, you know, we called Sunday, and it was a cart path only. They had gotten some more rain. So, you know, if it dried up enough, I might give it a shot. Because I need all the roll I can get right now. That's kind of what I'm alluding to.
Coach Brent Indes and I chatted a little bit this morning on his Bayou Sports about, and I want your opinion on this. What's more advantageous for a pro versus you know, a regular amateur to have a dry course or a wet course? What would you think?
Oh,
a pro,
wet course for sure.
A pro would like a wet course.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lift clean place.
No. I mean, just for regular,
for the greens.
For scoring.
Yeah. Well, scoring. I mean, I think it would depend on the golf course, because obviously it was pretty dry at this weekend in Texas, and they shot lights out. You
right.
know, so I think it depends on the golf course. But if you're hitting to you know, really, I'm trying to think of one of the courses that, you know, with small, you know, one of the old Ross designs, mm-hmm. you know, small greens that are very penal, and when it's dry, the ball, it's almost impossible to hold the ball on the green.
Yeah.
I think that's advantageous. But on the other hand, Ted, I mean, look at some of the, you know, that's what amazes me sometimes. You watch these tournaments on TV and you realize, yeah, they're hitting it 320, 340, no doubt. They're
mm-hmm.
carrying, but I mean, I'm saying 60 yards of that is rollout.
A
know?
Lot of it is.
I mean,
yeah.
It's a lot of rollout. You know, so you know, would they prefer to be another 60 yards back in the fairway as opposed to, you know, I think again, if it's a 7,500 yard golf course, I think they want all the roll they can get. If it's a 6,800 to 7,200 yard golf course, I think they want wet all day long.
But who would benefit the most? I think a pro, because they hit the ball so high.
Oh no,
don't
no.
need that extra roll.
Oh,
whereas an amateur does.
Well, no, there's no doubt.
We hit the ball so low.
I mean, I can't
because we don't have clubhead speed.
No, and plus the tendency for amateurs. On a wet course, you know, and that's just part of being an amateur, is you hit a lot of fat shots, you know, because whereas they can pick it, you know, doesn't matter the conditions, they can pick it clean. So yeah, I mean, for amateurs, you definitely want a dry course, I think, and the
right.
pros, again, I think depending on the golf course, but man, I think a lot of them kind of like some, a little moisture in there.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Okay, back to Sugar Oaks. Results of the recent tournaments, the Huey Possum Tournament, the winners of that was Lafayette Electrical, Doug Street.
I got the answer to the much trivia question.
Trebo and Bobby Abshaw. Let me finish this and
okay.
Give it.
Yes.
Okay, and then the President Larry Richard Tournament, winning that was a team of Aflac. And then recently the 4-H Tournament, first place went to Cajun Sugar, Ricky Artigo, Craig Collier, Kenny Stansberry, and Corey Powell with 17 under par. And then closest to the hole, longest drive winners was Jamie Segura, Doug Lemoine, and Ryan LaBiche. And let's see, one more thing at Sugar Oaks. Let me just finish this box score. Their Monday Twilight Scramble, team of Ryan Hornsby and Avi McLaughlin and Robert Burton shot minus six. They beat out Greg Dubois, Roger Pisani, and Nicky Melanson. And then that Friday, April 6th, Scramble, Ricky Bourque, Dylan Mesh, and Glenn Dupuy plus one. On the front, Insook Yang, Roger Pisani, and Taylor. It's a hard name to pronounce. We struggled with it last week. Montcacci, M-O-N-C-A-C-C-I, plus five. And then they finally had that divorce tournament. Nobody really got divorced, though. Thank God for that.
We don't know. You know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Check with the clerk of court's office.
It's still in the process.
Yeah.
So they had nine holes, and they played in the team of Dylan Mesh, Ricky Bourque, Robert Burton, and Anne Bourgeois, minus two.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay. Go back to those names. I didn't hear. I heard three men and a woman.
Well, I think Dylan Mesh, Ricky Bourque, Robert Burton.
Uh-huh.
I think the Ricky Bourque might be a female.
No, that's R. Glass.
Ricky Bourque?
Yeah. I promise you.
You don't think he had a sex operation?
No, I know. No, I'm telling you. That I don't know what happened unless they went to just, you know, you could play with friends or whatever. I don't know, but or you just had to have one lady on the team, you know?
I don't know either.
I don't know, but I know for sure that is
hard on glass, sure.
Isn't yeah, that's Ricky, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe one of the participants is listening and can call in with some clarification. That would be nice because
all right, let me do the Gator Golf Club,
okay.
And then I'm done.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
Santa Maria, the Gator Golf Club. Thanks, Bard Booty, for getting me this info. Heath Boudreaux won with plus seven in the first flight. Second flight was a tie. Brian Broussard, Raymond Bonnet, plus five. And their next tournament is scheduled for this Saturday at Westlake's National Golf Course with their brand new clubhouse. Okay, give me your report, and then I'll finish up with our local stuff.
All right, so very easily...
What was the trivia?
Well, the trivia was, why was it called the
1953? Yeah.
Because that's when Sunkiss Country Club was founded in 1953.
Well, you guessed it.
53, yeah. It was constructed shortly after the completion of the Pops Ferry Bridge. Going way back, man, back in the day, 128 acres. It was built on, and here's what's kind of interesting. It was built in 1953, and then it was sold in 1954. And it was actually called the Biloxi Country Club initially, and then renamed Sunkiss Country Club. They built the clubhouse through selling bonds at $300 each. It was a $90,000. But so you can imagine, it must be a pretty nice clubhouse, because in 1953, $90,000 was a lot of money,
Know,
so it must be pretty big, you know. So anyway, they had all the history about the who the officers were and all this stuff. But
good
1953 is when it opened. So that's what, 68 years ago.
Yes.
And
a long time.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's good to see them hanging in there. And let's see. Oh, Frank Steidel was the first golf professional at the golf club, and he shot a 64 to have the initial course record back in 1954. You know, so all kind of cool trivia here.
I took lessons from that guy.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
When I was Frank Steiner?
Frank Steidel. He died in 2007.
Yeah, I took
He was born in 1915. Wow.
Well, it was way back when I was in college.
Yeah, but he was,
I had a friend, Vaughn Moy, he's a golfer, that took lessons from him.
He must have been pretty good.
I went with him. Yeah.
Was he a good teacher?
He pronounced the name differently, Steidel.
I have no idea how to pronounce
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, but I mean.
I'm sure it is Steidel, yeah. Steidele.
Yeah. He was old, man.
No, he lived up. Man, he lived to be 92 years old, man.
Yeah, when he taught us, he was good
long life there. But that's interesting. I tell you what, I do hate modern technology for the most part, but how could you have ever found out stuff
something
like this?
Something so quick, instantaneous.
Yeah, back in the day.
You'd have to call or something.
I know.
It's all crazy. Right, back to the local stuff. Let's get this done with. The Tucson Golf Association's having their tournament. This started about a long time. This tournament's been going on for it's a 52nd annual, so that's pretty up there with the Broadmoor. Oh, not the Broadmoor, the Sunkist tournament. Mm-hmm. Bubba LaTrap's Memorial Golf Tournament Saturday, May 28th and 29th.
And where's that at?
Muni.
Oh,
Lafayette. An old tournament.
Who's Bubba?
Bubba LaTrap's was the mayor a long time ago.
Oh, they call it Dudley. Yeah, Dudley, huh?
No, James Bubba LaTrap.
Okay, but there was a mayor in Lafayette named Dud LaTrap, right?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe so.
And
it says James Bubba.
No, I bet you. No, it was Dudley for sure. I bet you he was related.
Maybe
some kind of way.
Oh, maybe it was in the family, kind of like Hilda Dagg and Mary.
Oh
Dagg,
no, they yeah.
You know, same name. But
a lot of times, the political families.
Yeah. All right, and also coming out of Lafayette is the Lafayette Senior Golf Association. Thanks to Mr. Lawson Ruley for getting me this info. The second Tuesday of the month, they're out-of-town course, and they played out at Eagle Ridge. First place, Connie Begnaud and Fred Altman. And then their Muni course, the fourth Tuesday of the month, on the home course, went to Terry Clement and Dennis Castile.
Yeah, and so Douglas Straps was the mayor of Lafayette. Back in, man.
He's still alive. I
he
think.
Is still alive. He's 92 years old.
Yeah. He goes to the first Saturday Mass at the Carmelite Monastery.
Are you serious?
And I see him quite. I haven't seen him the last few first Saturdays. But
He held the office from 1980 to 1992.
Yeah.
And I want to say he may have started some of those.
He was
involved in golf, yeah.
He was an avid golfer.
And he played at Muni a lot. And I think he may have started like some, now the Sheriffs kind of took it over, the Sheriff's tournament. Yeah. But I think he kind of started those junior clinics way back when.
I believe you were right.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the Louisiana Golf Association kicks up its schedule this summer. The 103rd Louisiana Amateur is going to be played at TPC Avondale. If you want to play a course where the Zurich Classic is played. And I still have to rave about this. Cane Row hosting the two Louisiana High School Golf Championships, Division 1 and 3. Awesome events for both those Monday and Tuesday rounds played there. Ascension Episcopal won Division 3, and Boyd Owens beat Jay Mandel for the individual prize. And then Division 1, C.E. Bird won that. And some great golf was played out there for the juniors, and Cane Row got some awesome exposure. And speaking of juniors, the Gulf States Junior PGA Championship's going to kick off the summer on June 8th and 9th at Beauchesne in Mandeville. That's for boys and girls. And then we've been promoting the Optimus Junior International Golf Championship qualifier at Timber Lane in Gretna, May 21st, for boys and girls as well. And if you advance there, you go to the big golf course in Florida, Florida.
And then that's for juniors, the Timber Lane? Is Drew
Optimus International.
Is Drew playing in that?
Not sure. I got his schedule. Theodore's got him in all kinds of tournaments, so we'll have to see.
Okay.
And then on the college scene, congratulations to the LSU Tigers. They advanced to the NCAA Championship at Greyhawk Golf Course in Scottsdale, Arizona. That's going to be at the end of this month. Right now they have the women's on the same golf course, and then the next week they'll have the men's NCAA Championships. And then here's a story I think is interesting, Boxcore. A few months ago, maybe 6 months ago, I reported on a guy named Parker Cootie, Charles Cootie's grandson. Parker and Pearson Cootie are seniors on the University of Texas golf team, and they were in this freak accident. They're running in the track, indoor track at Texas, and they were both vying to try to beat each other in a relay. And they both dove, and listen to this. They're twins, identical twins, and they hit the padded wall, and both of them broke their right arm in the exact same place.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable.
That is freakish.
Yeah. Well,
who won?
Obviously, they recovered because Parker was qualifying for the U.S. Open coming up this summer, and he made two hole-in-ones in the same round.
Man.
How unbelievable is that? Two hole-in-ones in the same round, and he needed it. Yeah, to advance in the qualifying to go to the next stage, you know, the regional qualifying. He needed both hole-in-ones.
He must have sprinkled in a few bogeys somewhere in
there.
Yeah,
really.
Because, man, normally two hole-in-ones and 16 pars will, you know, win you a lot of golf tournaments.
Yeah, you're right. But I just thought that was pretty odd, you know. Both the report, you know, about maybe 6 months ago that they broke their arms.
Yeah.
In the exact same place. So they carried the identical twin thing to way too far.
Their surgeon must have been excellent, because, I mean,
Yeah. Well, it might have been more than 6 months ago, but I report. But I kept it for some strange reason.
I wonder if they got a discount. Like, you know,
two for one? A two for,
yeah.
All right. You got anything else locally? No?
Maybe? Well, Not really, but I thought it was, you know, it's kind of a side, and it's really more like something I'd tell you off the air, but I thought it was pretty cool. My son called me yesterday. He was all excited. He went on a retreat recently, you know, one of the Acts retreats through church, and he was shopping in Kroger yesterday in Alexandria, getting ready to barbecue, and he saw one of the guys from the retreat, and for some, yeah, just started talking about, I guess, you know, their likes, that whatever, and the guy asks Cody if he ever played golf, and Cody's like, yeah, I love to play golf, me and my dad play whenever. Well, this guy, turns out he's the superintendent at Cassati Pines.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he lives in Woodworth, which is an hour away. Mm-hmm. So he has a pretty good commute every day to work, but he told Cody he gets some complimentary passes every month, so anytime that he and I want to go play, we're welcome to go play. So I thought that was really cool, because I've only played that course one time, and I was actually on a golf trip with you. That's when Lynn LeBlanc fell asleep dead in the middle of a conversation. I was talking to him, and he's sitting in your old van, and just the next thing you know, he's just snoring. But it was really windy that day. I remember it was a really tough conditions, but I love the course layout. It was a beautiful golf course.
Oh, it is.
You know, and so I'm
and
hoping.
They have the money, so, you know, the course is going to be in good shape when you go play it.
Well, I told Cody, I want to wait till your eyes get a little, you know, heal up a little bit, and I want you to come with us, because, you know.
I'd love to go.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, it's not going to be an overnight. It's just going to be a day trip, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was pretty cool.
Pretty coincidental.
Then it turns out that, you know, Cody worked for a short period of time at Le Triomphe, and the assistant superintendent that was there at that time had gone to New Orleans Country Club to be the assistant over there, and now he's a equipment rep for Toro, one of the – and that's who this guy buys all his stuff from. So it was
everybody's connected.
It's a big world, but it's such a small world when you find common ground like that. So I thought it was
Absolutely.
Just, you know, and it all came together through a retreat, you know, so.
All right. Well, good stuff. We'll be back after the break and talk a little bit about the upcoming PGA Championship along with the golf tournament this past weekend at Byron Nelson. Stay tuned.
Hey, guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center is now open and better than ever. Stop by our newly renovated store to shop the latest in golf balls, clubs, and apparel from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Under Armour. Check out our new state-of-the-art golf simulator and demo the hottest irons, drivers, and putters. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools, and of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
Tesh Matters, 10-1, on New Iberia's home for the hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Kane, 107.5.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight?
And welcome back to Chip Shots, Box Score, Badgeron, and Teddy Slamming with you here, talking a little golf. And Box Score, it was an exciting tournament this weekend, and I was on with Coach Indes this morning a little while on Bayou Sports, and we talked about this, and I want to get your opinion, but the AT&T Byron Nelson Classic was played out at Craig Ranch, TPC Craig Ranch, and an unbelievable score. K.H. Lee, the defending champion, won with 26 under par.
Yeah.
And we were talking, what kind of golf do you like to see? The low scores or the high scores?
No, I like the high scores, you know. But here's the thing. I think if you polled most golf fans, like the guys in our age group would say, yeah, we'd like to see high scores or whatever. And I would bet that the younger guys, you know, and the millennials and whatnot love to see birdies, you know, and low scores. I mean, they're the kind.
Our group would like
two or three over to win.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah,
to see, because it's more like golf we can relate to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's just like, you know, I don't mind a 7-3 football game. I'll love defense, you know.
Right.
And a lot of people hate that. They want to see,
yeah,
you know, 35, 20, you know, 27, 28, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I this is not my kind of golf for sure, because, number one, it makes you, I don't know, it's just, the golf course to me played way too, when all four par fives are reachable and for the most part driver, iron, that's just not a good, you know, good setup.
Well, I was under the contention. I like it sprinkled every now and then, you know, kind of like, you know, you see the Arizona tournament where they have that one hole.
Yeah.
That's good for that 1 week, but you don't want to see that every week. I don't want to see 26 under par every week. But once in a while, it's okay, you know, and I think the guys had fun with it, no question. And kind of like, you know, a change-up for them, you know, and they're not grinding every hole every time on.
Well, I don't know. They were grinding because, you know, you had to make birdie. You know, that's a grind too. You know,
but they seem to be flowing pretty easily.
I think for that, yeah. Well,
Sebastian Munzo shot 60, and became the first player to shoot 60 or under twice in the same season. So, you know, it's good scores are good sometimes. You know, it is what it is anyway. I mean, you know.
I think if you poll most PGA players, what they would like is a course where when you're teeing it off, you kind of know, you know, I have four or five holes. If I make par on, that's a great score. But I have, you know, four or five birdieable holes, and then the rest, we'll see what happens. You know, kind of a good mix there.
Kevin Arsenault just sent me this. And this is going back to your little thing with 1953.
Okay.
He says it's called 1953, not 1959, because he originally sent me saying,
oh.
I asked him what the name of the tournament was. He said the 1959. But he must have had too few many beverages
to
read the scoreboard.
It should have been 59 because that's the year I was born. So that I thought it was in honor of me, but apparently that wasn't the case.
Thanks anyway, Kevin.
but yeah, I mean it like you said, it turned into just a birdie fest, and I guess you know it's a like you said, as long as it's not every week, that's
no, yeah,
that's fine. You know,
And Lee became
it was crazy.
He was a defending champion.
I know we talked about the horses for courses last week.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and this is not a KH.
And he shot 25 under last. You know, so he's 51 under par.
Right,
and two tournaments.
It's not exactly like he's a household name. I mean, he's you know,
he's so obscure. I mean, I think he made two cuts in the last 10 or something crazy like that, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, he just came off the face of the earth.
And of course, you know, all the fans really, I mean, they wanted Jordan Spieth to win that so bad, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, 9 times out of 10, you shoot 67 at the final round of a golf tournament. When you have a lead going into it, you win the golf tournament. I mean, that's rare that you would lose it, you know, but unfortunately, you know, like I said, he kind of ran into that. But, boy, I tell you what, I got to admit, I was wrong on him because I was ready to write him off. And
who's that?
Jordan Spieth. And he's definitely resurrected his game.
And it's his long game because I read an article where,
he's
you
still
know, 6 years ago when he was on top of the world, his average drive was 295. Now it's up to 309, and
wow,
his club head speed went from 113 to 121. So that's significant change. And even back then, when he was winning, you know, he was hitting it left and right. He didn't know which way he was going to miss it.
All over the place, yeah.
And so he's become more accurate because his what do they call that? The points where they charted the stats. You know, he's gained points with that. You know, the points gained or whatever it's called. Yeah, his long game's there, and if he gets to back that magic with that cross-handed grip, watch out.
He's still ranked pretty low in putting, but man, he's it. Like I said, I mean, 2 years ago, I was like, man, this guy, you know, he was so magical, and we were all, and then but we talked about his struggles and he was pretty short, you know, like you said, by PGA Tour standards, but
295, you know,
but
short.
But man, I mean, to increase that much, either he, you know, has done some.
He's been doing some work, and you can see the gyrations he goes through in his pre-shot routine.
Yeah,
you
it's kind of brutal to watch, really. Because
it looks like he's coming
over the
top, but
he's
not.
Yeah.
It's a feeling where, you know, your hands and arms are moving to the left as you're hitting the ball, which they should do. They shouldn't go out, you know.
Yeah.
And crazy stuff, but if it gives him the feeling and it's working, wow.
And he does it even on bunker shots. It's just it's crazy.
Yeah.
You would think like on, you know, full shots and you know, long iron shots and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, anyway.
Okay,
it was,
so we got the PGA this week.
One
of the second major, second leg. Of course, Scottie Scheffler is the only one can win the Grand Slam. If he wins this one, boy, they'll be talking about that. But there's a bunch of storylines, Box Score. Let's start out with Tiger. If you don't mind, give us your opinion, your thoughts on Tiger Woods teeing it up.
Yeah, I think
what he said in the media.
No, I didn't. I honestly did not hear what he said.
He said that three words. They asked him, do you feel better, you know, heading into this tournament than you did into the Masters as far as his physical strength and all? And he says, oh, God, yes.
Oh, wow.
Three words, they said.
So,
you know, he is. He's in better shape, and he knows he can go, you know, the 36, the 72 holes,
and
of course, it's easier to
flat
walk.
Flat, of course,
blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So, well,
no, I mean, I think he obviously is. I think he tees it up, you know.
He's teeing it up.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
do I think he can win it?
His chances, you
I
know,
mean,
like, we wrote him off for the Masters. There's no way.
Yeah.
Just making the cut was a victory for him, you know.
Yeah. I still don't think he can win right now. I would say, but do I think he can finish in the top 20? Yeah, I think he makes the cut, and I think he has a respectable showing.
Yeah,
I'll put it that way.
All right. And then the other thing, I read an article where we know Tom Brady's he's came out of retirement to play, but then he signed a 10-year deal with Fox to be broadcaster for $375 million.
Amazing.
And the thought came up is, what would they pay Tiger to do broadcast if he ever said, yeah, I'll do it? You know he's going to say no, but if he have what would the price tag on that be? You know, be a lot more than Tom Brady. I promise you that.
Yeah,
because Tiger Woods is known globally. Tom Brady probably not.
Yeah, no. I mean, the only difference I think is that the PGA, the NFL contracts with the TV is so much higher than the PGA Tour with TV. You know, now you do have more PGA events broadcast. Then you do, you know.
Plus, you're doing more than one day broadcasting.
Yeah, right? You're doing four days, and he'd have to do some Golf Channel stuff, and all. Yeah, there's no way he would do it. But
no, he would say no.
But
no question.
No,
he's saying no to the Senior Tour. I promise you, he's not playing the Senior Tour.
Yeah,
I can't see Tiger Woods doing that. It's just not to me. I mean, it might happen, but I don't think it will.
Well, let me ask you this, Teddy, because I mean you're really good at this kind of trivia. But in the past 50 years, a reigning major champion was not able to defend his title. Okay, not the PGA, but just defend his title. Period. And this year is going to be the fourth. Can you name the previous three?
Well, I know Payne Stewart got killed.
Right, in 1999.
Yeah, he had won the U.S. Open that year.
U.S. Open in 99.
You're talking about majors, huh?
Yeah, just majors. You know, it doesn't matter which major.
So that's one. And that's two others?
Two others, yeah. And, I mean, obviously,
Tiger Woods has got to be one of them with injury.
2008, recovering from knee surgery, and this is the one because I totally forgot about this. See if you can get this. It was in 2015.
2015.
Well, 2015. So I guess he won it in 2014. This major.
No, I don't.
And it's the Open Championship. It's overseas.
Oh, Rory.
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 A soccer injury.
Oh, I didn't know.
He was playing soccer. Recreational soccer and hurt himself, and he wasn't able to defend. Yeah,
wow. Cool.
And of course, you know our boy Teddy. I want to ask you this: can you ever remember in sports history a guy being so beloved by fans, by media, not by players because he wasn't by players, but I mean he was a fan darling, and now is to the point of I guess shame, embarrassment. Not wanting to face the media, not wanting to face the fans, because of his stance on this, you know, world tour as Phil Mickelson. It's just incredible to me what has transpired in the last few months with him.
It's pretty embarrassing for him, you know. And I mean, look, it's not good for golf either because, like you said, he was beloved. I read an article where Charles Barkley said he'd much rather play with, you know, and be around Phil Mickelson than Tiger Woods because he's loose and easy. He's a gambler.
Yeah.
And that's another whole side of the
story. Yeah, the story.
Rumor,
yeah.
You know,
this book is supposed to be coming out. Yeah.
And it's scary. But this week's going to be kind of, I know it's a relief probably for the PGA because of, you know, the circus that he would bring with if he'd come out of his hiding or whatever he's doing. But it's sad, really, and embarrassing that. You know, everybody makes mistakes. Tiger Woods came out after a period of time and admitted to the media, and now he's beloved. You know, everybody's accepted him. The same would happen with Phil. He's too well-liked with the media, with the fans, and I don't know so much about the golfers. They all got egos so big you can't tell. But, you know, I wish he would come out, you know, and say, I made a mistake. Let's move on. Look, Jack Nicklaus even said, that Saudis offered him $100 million. To go run the thing that Greg Norman's doing, basically
Jack?
The same thing. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he said he turned it down twice, once in writing, and the second time verbally. He said, "I'm not, you know, I made the PGA Tour what it is. I'm not turning my back on the PGA Tour for money."
Right.
Money doesn't rule everything, you know, and that's what's sad about Phil, you know.
Yeah.
He's a hypocrite, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's complaining against the PGA Tour for being money gougers, mm-hmm. and yet he's trying to do the same thing for his own pocketbook, you know,
right.
which he's probably broke, you know, well, according to
yeah.
a lot of sources.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's hard.
It's a shame.
No, I mean, and there was rumors, way back. I mean, it goes way, way back. We know, you know, John Daly had some financial issues and Callaway had bailed him out. And there was rumors, too, that, you know, Phil used to be a ping guy and then suddenly signed with Callaway. And there was – this goes back 20-something years or, you know, that it was because of gambling debts he had back then. And I know for a fact. I mean, he openly would admit, you know, he bet, you know, really heavily on football games and whatnot. But he would always say – how he won all the time, you know, and most gamblers, that's what you hear from them. But if, again, this tell-all book coming out is, and I can't wait to read it personally, not, you know, again, it, how much of it's going to be true or not, but it's just, to me, fascinating to think that someone could amass that much fortune and you know, have it, you know, go the way by betting, you
yeah.
know, I mean, it's just, but to me, you know, it's sad in this respect in that he made history by becoming, you know, the oldest major winner, you know, and then his years, to me, of let's say being able to compete in these majors is, what, maybe the next year or two,
yeah.
you know, I mean,
yeah.
seriously, you know, I know he still hits it plenty far, you know, but I mean, it's not, you know, it just happens with age. And he's not going to play the senior tour or anything like that.
I
so
think.
I think he'll just – so what happens when he goes off the tour?
I don't know. He needs to just come back and take his medicine, you know, say, look, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, and move on and see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to it. It's, like you say, in this book coming out, he was associated with this guy named Billy Walters
yeah.
who went to jail
yeah.
for conspiracy – fraud, wire fraud, and Phil had to put up almost $1 million for his it was some investment with some company, but
mm-hmm.
Phil didn't get, you know, he didn't get accused, but he got associated with and had to put up almost $1 million in this lawsuit. Well, this guy had to put up $44 million and go to jail. So
yeah,
I mean, like you said, I'm anxious to see the book and. And read it. It's going to be a hot seller for sure. That guy Smutnik, how you pronounce his name? The guy who wrote the book.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. I don't have it in front of me, but he's
Smutnik.
Shipnik. Shipnik. And I'm going to tell you what. If I'm not going to say everything he writes is gospel, but he is a respected journalist. He's not one
well
of the.
Known, right.
Yeah, he's not one of these, you know, fluff piece guys that just to write. For sensationalism, I mean, if he did his research and he'll have some facts to back it up. And when you're making these kind of, I'm not sure if accusations is the right word, but you're putting this kind of stuff out there, you're opening yourself up to lawsuits if it's not true, you know.
Right, sure.
So obviously, it's not good.
Well, some of the other storylines coming out of the PGA, you know, we talked about Tiger, we talked about Phil. What about the beer prices? You saw that?
No, I didn't see
Holy
that.
Holy smokes.
It's the opposite of the Masters, I would imagine.
$15 per beer.
And it's supposed to be hot over there.
And they're saying the wine and cocktails are going for $13 to $19, which is, you know, a lot
yeah.
less than $15 to $18 for a beer. For an ultra, it's $18. Oh, man.
I don't know, man.
I don't like that. That's
No,
you know,
that's...
I mean,
that's price
that's
gouging.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, even I mean, look, the prices have gone up. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I see that on a daily basis when I stop to get my beer.
Sure, me
but,
too. Yeah.
But it's not, you know, so that ultra that they're selling for $18 is probably costing them $1.50. You know,
who knows?
It's ridiculous. I mean,
and I mean, they ought to take a clue from the Masters. The Masters, you know, for $4
yeah.
you can get a beer at the Masters in that beautiful cup that I still drink out
yeah,
of.
Yeah, that draft.
I mean,
and it's draft
that
beer right. with Chopper anyway. You know,
exactly.
It's
cool.
It's cheaper to serve draft beer. You can buy a keg for a lot cheaper than you can the cans and stuff. You know, but no, it's sad. I mean, this and I don't know how. It's getting to the point where only the elite will be able to go to sporting events to even attend them anymore.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, I mean, because of the price of tickets, concessions, and all the other, you know, things associated with it.
Well, if Jordan Spieth wins, he wins. He joins that elite group of five golfers to win the Grand Slam. That would,
I tell you what,
that would make a lot of noise.
He's got a pretty good shot.
I think he does. You know, he's coming into it just right. Of course, a lot of other players are too. You know, a bunch of Xander Schauffele had a nice tournament, and so did Scotty Scheffler. You know, and I mean,
no, I mean Scheffler's the odds-on favorite. I mean,
yeah,
and,
I gotta
believe it. But you know, yeah, I mean, I'm looking right here that the rankings, they have Scheffler ranked first, Spieth second, John Rahm. I mean, how could you know count him?
He won
in Mexico this past week. You know, not as his first title in 11 months, but I mean, he's been playing some really good golf too. Colin Morikawa, they have, you know, ranked up there. Rory, you know, Patrick Cantlay, Justin Thomas, who's playing well. Xander Schauffele just comes off of 61 and a nice tournament, you know.
Yeah,
so,
exactly,
I mean,
right.
Matsuyama, you can't ever count him out, you know. I mean, the only guy you can count out is Sung J.M. because he tested positive for COVID. So he is not going to be making the trip from, I think he was in Korea playing when he tested. And so he will not be able to
And then two question marks are the injured guys. Brooks Koepka dropped out of Colonial.
Mm-hmm.
Not Colonial. It's the AT&T now, you know. And he didn't give a reason. So he just, disappeared. And then, of course, Bryson DeChambeau coming back with that wrist surgery.
Right.
And he's doing it. He's teeing it up prior to the doctor's recommendation timeline. So I don't know.
Yeah. And that's two guys who a year or two ago, you know, were in the conversation every week, you know. And certainly. Well, their feud. And it's kind of ironic they're both injured at the same time. DeChambeau, I give no shot to because, I mean, that with his golf swing and a wrist injury, that's a deadly combination. And honestly, that's something that if he's bucking, you know, doctor's advice on this, that could not, I'm not going to say career ending, but that could set him back 2 or 3 years of prime golf.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
with your, especially with, your hands.
With the wrist.
It's not,
you know,
like your knees or something.
But Brooks, you never know. I mean, we've, you know, kind of counted him out before coming off of stuff, and it's a major, and, you know, who knows, you know, with him.
So it's time to pick. You pick two, I'll pick two. You go first, I'll go, then you go.
You see, I don't want to take, because the guy I want to pick, I know you
want
him.
To go first? I'll
yeah,
go first.
You go first, because I know you.
I'm picking Xander Schauffele.
Oh.
I'm not picking Jordan.
Oh.
I'm picking Xander, because I think he needs to enter that group of major winners, kind of like what Scotty Scheffler
We're picking
did.
Two, right? Two,
yeah.
Two,
so I get
guys.
A second pick. You pick.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pick Jordan Spieth.
Okay. Then I'm going to go with Scotty, I guess, second.
And I'm going to go with pick. John Rahm.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll do a beer for each.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
You got a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot more to talk about.
I'm still pulling for Jordan. Don't get me wrong.
No, I get it. You know, I always like to see, you know, milestones accomplished. And I mean, to this day, it breaks my heart. I mean, not that he, you know, needs it financially, but to know that Tom Watson never won the career Grand Slam because of this same tournament, right?
Yeah,
he could
so.
Never win
never
it, you
win
know.
It. And how many times he was leading after 36 holes and just
yeah. And spiraled. Do you think it's because this tournament is played on so many different courses, whereas, you know, the Masters is always the same, the Open Championship. You have your rotation, and you kind of have your rotation for the U.S. Open as well.
That's a good point.
You know,
and I never thought about it in that light, but we'll have to review that, you know, and do a little research this week and see what we come up with, because you're spot on there.
Yeah,
we don't have much time to discuss it, but it is a good subject. You know, it might be that. Because the PGA's played, you know, pretty much all over
the map. It's almost a different course all the time, you know.
But the U.S. Open is pretty consistent with the courses they rotate.
Yeah, every now and then they'll throw in, and you know, one of the new, you know, ones, but pretty much it's the same ones. But, yeah, anyway, so hope everybody enjoys this week.
All right, see you next week.
All right.
Hey, guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Road. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Road and enjoy.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew. Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center is now open and better than ever. Stop by our newly renovated store to shop the latest in golf balls, clubs, and apparel from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Under Armour. Check out our new state-of-the-art golf simulator and demo the hottest irons, drivers, and putters. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s on Kane 107.5.